verse from the Bible. If you have a Bible with you, you might turn to it. If not, just listen. A very well-known verse that's found in the Gospel by John, chapter number 10, and at verse number 9. A verse that over in Scotland we teach the children in the Sunday schools. John chapter 10, verse 9 reads, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now let's just read that again. The words of the Lord Jesus, this is what he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now God will bless his word. The message to which you have been listening and which is the subject of the Bible has a great name. It is called the Gospel. And it's called the Gospel because that word means good news. And it is good news to every sinner to learn that the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When you read the Gospel story, you will find that it can be explained quite simply and clearly in such a way that anyone and everyone can understand. And I don't think anything could be clearer than these words that we have read together this evening. There are only 15 of them in the little section of the verse that we read. 15 little words, and crammed into them, there is a message that can change your destiny for eternity and set you tonight in this hall in Vancouver on the road to heaven. You see, as I said, it is a clear message, a simple message, a direct message, but I want you to understand it is God's message, and it is vital that you listen to the message that God is presenting to you through his word. I am the door, the words of the Lord Jesus. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, as we look at these 15 words, I want you to look at them this way this evening. Just imagine that you are standing in front of a door. And standing in front of a door, you will see that there is a door on one side. You've got the doorpost. On the other side, you've got a doorpost. And you've got a lintel across the top. Now, down the left-hand side of that doorpost, you will see there are written four words. I am the door. Down the right-hand doorpost, you see written another four words. He shall be saved. And across the middle, seven words written large, by me, if any man, enter in. Now, as we look at these three things this evening, I want to look at them this way. I am the door. That's a great declaration. He shall be saved. That's a great deliverance. By me, if any man enter in, that is a great decision. Now, that's a simple way to look at the gospel. And I want you to understand this evening just how clear the Bible is about your need to be saved. There is, first of all, a great declaration. I am the door. There is, secondly, a great deliverance. He shall be saved. And there is, right across the center lintel, that great decision, by me, if any man, enter in. Now let's look at that just for a few brief moments this evening. Here we have the great declaration of the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came from heaven to die on Calvary's cross. And what are his words? I am the door. I want you to notice, please, that there is about this verse a tremendous ring of certainty and assurance. You know, we are living in a world of uncertainty, of doubt, a world of darkness, a world of disappointment and despair. The message of the gospel has about it the very ring of heavenly certainty. Do you see that in the words of the Savior? I am the door. You know, he is claiming something tremendous here. He doesn't say, I am a door. He doesn't say, I am one of many doors. He says, I am the door. The one, the only door. The Lord Jesus is claiming to be God's only way of salvation. Now I want to tell you tonight that this gospel is not one of many ways to heaven. This gospel is not one of two ways to heaven. This gospel stands unique and alone as God's only road to heaven. That is what we preach, because that is what the Bible teaches, and because we've known the good of it in our own soul. So there is about the gospel a tremendous ring of certainty. No doubt. Do you want to be certain about eternity? Men say to me in Scotland, I hope so. I'm working on it. I'm trusting that at the end everything will be all right. Man, I tell you tonight, that's not good enough for me. Woman in the meeting tonight, it's not good enough for you. When you're dealing with eternity, you want to be rock sure and absolutely certain. And there's nothing more certain than the gospel. The Savior said, I am the door. Now, if you don't remember anything else tonight, I want you to remember this wee verse. I want it to go right deep down into your heart, so you never forget this verse. I am the door. Now, what do you do with a door? You come through a door. You came through a door to come into this place tonight. Now you see, you didn't need to stand outside that door and say, what do I do now? Somebody didn't show you the door and you said, well, you'll need to explain to me how I get through here. You see, there's nothing complex about going through a door. Nothing complex. It's quite simple. It's quite easy. You take a step and you're through. There's nothing complex about getting saved. There's nothing complex about God's salvation. It's a simple thing. It's a step you have to take. You've heard about it tonight. And we will see in a moment what that step is. I want you to notice, please, that when the Lord Jesus said, I am the door, he was claiming a tremendous thing. He was actually, in that word, I am, claiming to be God himself. And indeed, that is who he is. The Savior of the world is none other than the Son of the living God. He is none other than God himself. And this is what gives power and authority and conviction to the message of the gospel. Have you got it? Have you got that eternal life that you were hearing about just a minute or two? Now listen, your soul, you just ask yourself the question. You see, if I was to say to folks tonight in here, have you got salvation? And they were Christian, to a man and a woman, they would say, I've got it. I've got it. But maybe you're saying tonight, I hope I've got it. I've maybe got it. It looks like I've a chance of getting it. You get all that out of your mind tonight. I want you, when you leave this hall tonight, to say, I've got it. I've got God's salvation. And so you see, the Savior says, who could be simpler? I am the door, God's one, God's only, God's certain way of getting salvation. Now, we want certainty, don't we? And that's why the Lord Jesus also said, by me if any man enter in. Now look at the last four words in this wee verse. He shall be saved. Now do you notice again the assurance in the verse? It doesn't say he might be saved. It says he shall be saved. Do you notice another great thing? It doesn't say he shall be saved at the end of life's journey. It doesn't say he'll be saved in a week or a month or a year. I tell you, when you get salvation, you get saved that very second. You know, God willing, this meeting will finish in 15 minutes, just more. You know, you don't even need to wait for 15 minutes to get saved. You can get saved now. I was hearing just a few weeks ago about a woman that got saved walking home from a gospel meeting, walking down the street to get saved. You know, you can get saved anywhere. He shall be saved. Ah, but you're saying, preacher, tell me, what about to get saved from? Well, we heard that a minute ago, but I want you to just speak about it again. That's a great word, you know, saved. I like that one. Saved. I was travelling some time ago from England, from Scotland down to England, down in the M6 motorway, and I stopped at one of these motorway service stations, if you know, at Killington Lake. I stopped there because there's a lovely view over a wee lake there. And you know, as I drew in, There was a Land Rover, you know, one of these things with a display up. And I saw what it was, but I over and spoke to the man. It was the Lake District Mountain Rescue Team. So I started speaking to the man and I said, tell me, what do you do? Well, he looked at me with absolute, what do we do? He says, well, the mountain rescue team. Can you not read that? I said, oh, a Scotsman can even read English in England, you know. I can do that, you know. I can do joined up writing as well. Well, I said, oh, but what do you do? He says, well, a mountain rescue. I said, oh, but what do you do? He said, we save people. I said, that's remarkable. I know somebody does that as well. I know somebody who saves people. He says, what mountain rescue team do you know about? I said, no. I know somebody who saves people from a greater peril than the peril you get on the mountains. You see? What does it mean? What does the word save mean? Well, you see, if you ever have the great privilege of coming to Bridge of Weir, that's the wee village I come from. There's a river runs through it. It's called the River Greith. It means the River of Grief. And you know, in the winter, it's a very fast running wee river. And sometimes folk fall into it. And some have even lost their lives in it. But you know, if I was walking up the edge of the stream, and somebody had fallen into the river, and I shouted to them, do you want to get saved? They wouldn't shout back, what do you mean? They would know what I meant. They would know well and dearly what I meant. Do you know why? Because they would know they were in a predicament and couldn't get themselves out. To be saved is to be delivered from a predicament from which you cannot deliver yourself. It's to be saved from danger out of which you cannot get yourself. And that's what the Bible means about being saved. Because to be saved means that somebody else has had to do the delivering for you. Great thing to be saved. You say saved from what? Not from drowning in the River Greith. Not from getting lost in some of the hills of the Lake District. No. To get saved from that eternal judgment of which we were hearing. God's judgment for eternity in the lake of fire for those who don't accept the gospel. Get saved from that. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, listen to it, he shall be saved. Now, I don't want you to understand this, misunderstand this. When it says, he shall be saved, that a word really that means he or she. I am the door. By me, if any man or any woman enter in, he or she shall get saved. I wonder tonight if you want to get saved. I got saved when I was 8 years of age. It was a Wednesday evening. And I was sitting in a wee room and I had a Bible. And I wrote on the flyleaf of the Bible, and I didn't even spell it right, you can get saved even although you don't know how to spell the word. And you know, I wrote on it, Lord, I want to be saved. I left out the D. I lost that Bible. But a few years ago, in moving house, I found it again. So it lies on my desk in the house now, with a wee pencil scrawling still on it. The night I get saved. So you get saved when you're 8. You can get saved when you're 4. You can get saved when you're 108. It doesn't matter. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You say, that's a great deliverance, surely. A great deliverance. I'd be a great deliverance tonight if you were to get saved. Well, you might be saying now, I but preacher, how do I get saved? What have I got to do to get saved? Well, I can tell you this. You can put your wallet away. It doesn't cost a penny. And you can forget about signing anything. And we'll not be asking you to join anything, or associate with anything, or be affiliated to anything. None of that gives you salvation. As a matter of fact, coming to this gospel meeting doesn't even save you. You can go to gospel meetings day after day, and still not have it. By me, if any man enter in. Well, there was a man one day, and I'm going to quote you another wee verse now. There was a man one day fell at the feet of a gospel preacher, and he had seen his world really just crumble round about him, and he said this, "What must I do to be saved?" Now there's a great question to be asked. Every gospel preacher would like to be asked that question. What must I do to be saved? Now wait for it. Listen to what the gospel preacher said. He had to sum up the gospel in a nutshell. And nobody could do better than this gospel preacher. He said to the man, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now that's what you've got to do. You tonight have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you're going to say to me, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I go about Glasgow a wee bit preaching the gospel. And folks sometimes say to me, well, what do you mean believe? Well, what I say is this. If you were to come to me down to my wee home village and walk down the main street, we might pass somebody and you might say to me, "Do you believe that man's married?" Oh, I believe he's married. I can see by the look in his face he's married. Do you believe he works in the leather work? Oh, I believe he works in the leather work. Do you believe he's got three of a family? I believe he's got three of a family. Do you believe that he goes every Friday night with his wife up there at the big supermarket? Oh, I believe that. Poor soul. But I believe that. You believe all that about him, eh? But tell me. Tell me, you might say to me, do you trust him? I might say this. I believe a lot of things about him, but I don't trust him. Friends, tonight, believing in the Lord Jesus. You know, there's folks have missed heaven, and yet they believed that the Lord Jesus was a great teacher and a miracle worker, but they missed heaven. There's folks tonight missed heaven who believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross. There's folks tonight who missed heaven who believe that he was the greatest teacher who ever lived and lived the choicest life that ever there was. And they missed heaven. I know a man that tells me often, "I believe he was the greatest teacher the world has seen." And I say to him, "Well, Jimmy," and Jimmy is his name, "Well, Jimmy, why do you not believe his teaching then?" We are not asking you tonight to believe things about Jesus Christ. We're asking you to believe Jesus Christ. We're asking you to put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus, to accept that he died on Calvary's cross for sinners, and that by trusting him, your sins will be forgiven. The Bible teaches it. You trust him. You believe him. You accept what he said is true. You see, it's just about that. It's not about paying money. It's not about doing good works. It's not about joining a church. It's not about putting your name in a roll. It's not about affiliating to do all of that, you're still out of heaven. It's about saying, I'm prepared to trust the Savior, lean on him, and accept that by doing that, he will save me and take me right through to heaven. Now, why do you need it? Why do you need to be saved? You need to be saved because, like me, you're a guilty sinner. I'm a guilty sinner. I'm going to heaven, and I don't deserve to go, do you know? As a matter of fact, if I was to say to every Christian in the hall tonight, do you deserve to go to heaven? To a man and a woman, they would say, I don't deserve it. You know, every day that passes, there's thousands of souls cross the glory gates into heaven. And there's not one of them crosses the glory gate saying, I deserve to be here. I've done well to be here. Everyone who crosses it says, I'm here and I don't deserve it, but by God's grace and by the work of the Savior, I'm here in glory. And I wonder tonight, we need to be saved because we're sinners. Every single one of us. Now the Bible says it, there's not one man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Come short of the glory of God. It means you come short of God's standard. God's got a standard. It's called the Ten Commandments. There's not one single person in here who's kept all Ten Commandments. Not one. We're all sinners. Every single one. And because of that, we need to be saved. You say, what do I get if I get saved? What do you get? Well, you know, I don't have time to tell you all that you get, but I'm just going to give you a wee taster. You get your sins forgiven. You get the gift of eternal life. You start that very moment on the road to heaven, and you get such security. The Savior promises that once you're saved, you'll never lose salvation. You'll have it for all eternity. Never lose it. You'll never be out of it. And it doesn't matter what happens, who happens, or when it happens, you're saved and you're going to heaven. I give unto my sheep eternal life, said the Savior, and they shall never perish. You hold on to that never. Never perish. You're going to heaven if you accept God's gospel, if you accept the Savior as your Savior tonight. Jesus, I will trust thee, said the poet. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, helpless, thou canst make me whole. But listen, just in a minute or two I'm going to be finished. A great certainty, I am the door. A great certainty, he shall be saved. But there's a great uncertainty in the verse. A great uncertainty. I am the door, the Savior says, I certainly am. He shall be saved. That's certainly true. What's uncertain? It's one word of two letters. By me, if. The uncertainty is whether you're going to accept it or not. That's the uncertainty. The only uncertainty in the gospel is your decision. God's side's certain. Your side's uncertain. I wonder tonight if you're going to make that decision. Standing at the crossroads, heaven or hell, glory or the lake of fire, the forgiveness of sins, or God's judgment for eternity, all hinges on the decision that you make. And every gospel meeting is an opportunity of starting on the road to heaven. And every gospel meeting may be the last opportunity you'll ever get. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, you shall be saved. Are you going to go in? And I record it again, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. We're not asking you to join a religion. We're not asking you to believe a whole set of rules and regulations. Salvation is about a person you trust. And that person is the Savior. And he's saying to you tonight, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Grasp the any. Nobody's excluded. You're not too good. You're not too bad. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too rich. You're not too poor. You're not too educated. You're not too uneducated. It's for everybody tonight. For the Savior says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. you want to talk about these things, we'll be at the door, and there's other Christians here can talk. But remember the words of the Savior. Let them burn into your soul. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall.